Have you come expecting to receive from the Lord? Amen, amen. I know we've had a great service kickoff with Prophet Lloyd Bussard yesterday morning, yesterday night. Powerful services here at the altar. Hearing testimonies today. And today you have another wonderful man of God that I've had the privilege of knowing for over 4 years. He has touched literally millions of people on television all over the world. For those of you who don't know Dr. Sam Khojogalanian, he's one of the greatest servants. He reminds me a lot of our pastor, our former pastor, Pastor Peter Dosik. He comes to serve first and serve others. I love his heart for the nations. I love his heart for just the world to point people to Jesus. His goal is to win, this is a direct quote, millions and billions to Christ. Amen? He just came back from great services in Mexico, many miracles, many got saved. I think 3 weeks before that, he was in Honduras, tens of thousands being touched and impacted with the gospel. Again, I've seen him on live TV where literally he's in front of 5 or 10 million people in a single audience. Tens of thousands are coming to Christ every time he does one of these events. The man is a great surgeon. He's one of the leading heart surgeons in the entire world. That was his initial occupation. But most importantly, he is a man of God that loves winning souls. He's really an evangelist that does surgeries on the side, so to speak. He is, again, I can't speak more highly of this man, and I'm so thankful to Pastor Randy, Pastor Nicole, Pastor Phyllis, wanted to bring him in because I know he's got some great things to share in Pentecost Conference. The man has written 3 books on the book of Revelation. He told us tonight it took him 5 years to write 2 of those books. 5 years. I mean, the book of Revelation, for those of you, probably more scholars than I am, it's pretty deep, is it not? I mean, you got to read every line and start understanding the interpretation. He's got 2 books out there that I'm sure he'll probably talk about, but he's got such great depth of the Word, and that's what I love about him. The Word just comes out of him. You know, you sit down with Pastor Dosik, the Word just came out of him. You could talk about anything, and he would quote 20, 30, 40 scriptures, and I know that's why these men of God would come for prayer and fasting, because they would just sit at his feet, and he would just give him ideas, and give him suggestions, and give him counsel, and he gives scripture after scripture. That's how Dr. Sam is. We just had the privilege of having lunch with him today, Pastor Nicole, Pastor Randy, and myself, and the man just quotes scripture nonstop. He has a heart for the nations. Would you please give a warm, only believe welcome to Dr. Sam Khojogalanian as he brings forth the message tonight.
Thank you, brother. You did great. Thank you. Well, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. Our God is good. He's a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those you who trust in him. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You know, I've read thousands of books. We were talking about reading books, but read thousands of books to get to open up a heart artery. But there's one book that's the truth, y'all. This is it right here. It's the Bible. Every other book got the 10th edition, the 20th edition, the 50th edition. And when I was in medical school, I was told, son, by the time you graduate, 50% of what we told you is either wrong or it shall change. This Bible, baby, ain't never gonna change. Because Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the Word of God. He was, He is, and He shall be forever and ever. If you got problems today, you're at the right place. We all got problems, right? But God is good. And where do you go when you got problems? You can go to the heart doctor, but when I give you some medications, there are 2 things, right? 1, it's got an expiration date. 2, it's got side effects, y'all. You go on the 3rd ear or the 11th toe, whatever it might be. It's got this Bible, ain't got no side effects, and it got no expiration date. This is the book. And if you're wondering why some Christians are down and depressed and heavy laden, it's because they ain't in the book, y'all. If you want health and healing, it's in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20, 21 to 22. It says, my son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Keep them close to your eyes. Put them in the midst of the heart, for they are life to those who find them. And check this. And health to their whole body. You try to find a heart doctor that can do that for you. Can't. Jesus can. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. There is no other. Well, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Y'all lift up your eyes. I'm not looking at the hills. I'm looking at the creator of the hills. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Where does your help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heavens and earth. He will not let your foot slip. And he who watches over you does not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Amen. The Lord watches over you. He's your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor moon by night. The Lord will keep watch over you. He'll keep watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, turn with me to Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. Genesis 28, verse 15. And I was in the airplane. It was the red eye, right, coming down Delta from LAX, where all the crazy people live, Los Angeles. I was there, and the Lord's like, you got the wrong sermon for the church. And I'm like, Lord, it's midnight. He goes, child, I know what time it is. You got the wrong sermon. So here, on Delta, right here, y'all. That's my sermon right there. He's always right, and I'm wrong. So I listened to him. I'll put that back here, and we'll get into our sermon. Just a little background about me. Was born on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. That's not an accident. It just, my parents weren't visiting there. After the 1915 massacre of the Turkish people killing 1.5 million out of 3 million Armenians, my peoples, because we were Christians. We were the first nation as a whole to accept Christianity as a whole, 300 A.D. And they killed our peoples, and so the Armenians dispersed everywhere, the diaspora. And my daddy ended up in Jerusalem, my mom ended up in Beirut, Lebanon, but anyway, ultimately I was born there on the Mount of Olives. I grew up on the Via Dolorosa. Ain't that a trip? That's a trip, y'all. I didn't know it was a trip until I moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee. I thought that was just normal. Yeah, I live on the Via Dolorosa, what's up? But when in Tennessee, they're like, you're from the Holy Land. I'm like, yeah, I guess so. They're like, can I touch you? I'm like, no, you can't. You can't touch me. So anyway, it was amazing to grow up in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I was beat up. I was called an ugly dog. I was called a foreigner. I was hated. I had no Nikes. I had no Levi's. I had pantalones and sandals. But ultimately, within 2 years, my mom and dad taught me how to fight on my knees, pray hard, trust the Lord with all my heart and soul, and also sit on my behind and study like a mad boy. And so that's what I did. And in a matter of 2 years, all these kids that hated me voted me the best all-around student. It don't matter what side of the tracks you're born with. You get Jesus Christ in you, get on the tracks, baby, roll. Let's go. That's how we do. If we go with Jesus Christ, he will help you. There's no doubt about it. So anyway, ultimately, from Chattanooga to crazy land, Los Angeles, and got 27 rejection letters to medical school, ultimately made it. And that's a miracle itself. We'll talk about that one day. But anyway, ultimately, at the 27 rejection letters, I'll share this with you. I got on my knees. There was on my door a poster of U.S. military aircraft going vertically. And there was only two words on it. It said, aim high. And that's what I've done all my life. But after the 27 reject letter, my world fell apart. And I tore that poster. I wish I had never done that. In my anger, in my hurt, in my tears, I tore it. I hurled it under me in my bed. And I actually got on my knees and I said, Lord God, and I heard him. This would be the second time I heard him. I heard him at age 5 when he said, I'll be a heart doctor and preach the gospel. At 5, they thought I had ADD or something. You know, what's wrong with this child? But then I got on my knees and I said, Lord God, and he said, don't call me Lord. I'm not your Lord. I brought you to medicine, but you made medicine your altar. You worship at the altar of medicine. That's your Lord. I'm not your Lord. And I had to make the most critical decision in my life at that time. I said, okay, I will hand you this medicine. Just know that part of my heart will die if you take it away from me. Anyway, it was, I handed him, I made him Lord. And I want to ask you today, is Jesus Christ, yes, your Savior, right? And we really can't separate him as he's Savior and he's Lord. He's both, he's all. He's our healer, he's our master, he's our deliverer, he's our restorer. But he wasn't my Lord. And I prayed to the good Lord that he is your Lord today. And it was 1 week after that I ultimately got into a master's program at USC Medical School. And it was 1 week after that the dean called me into his office and he's like, we'd like to talk to you. I'm like, that's it. I'm out. I said, Lord, you can have it. He kicking me out. Boop. And he's like, we've been watching you, and we'd like for you to teach our medical students. And I'm like, that's crazy, because I can't get into medical school across the United States of America, and I'm going to teach in one of the most prestigious colleges in America, USC, very difficult to get into California medical school, and I'm teaching the medical student. That's God, y'all. Yeah. That's my God. He is a good God. He didn't have to give to me. He didn't give to me because of me. He gave to me because of him. He is good. He is a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. And so let's put our trust in him. This is, I love it because this was conceived in the airplane on Delta 309 something at 12. So Lord, it's midnight. He's like, I know, child. Write this down. So I wrote it down. It's in Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. And behold, I am with you and will keep you in all places wherever you go and will bring you again into this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you. I will be with you. I will keep you. I will not leave you. And that to me was like, wow, this person, God is talking to this person, by the way, is Jacob. And he must be a righteous man. He must be a godly man. He must be a man of God who follows him, loves him, wholeheartedly serves him. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 15, it says, seek the Lord, and he will be found by you if you seek him with your whole heart. So I thought, this man must be seeking the Lord. It's in Psalm 58, 11, where it says that God will reward the righteous when they follow him. So I thought, this got to be him. So I wanted to track back and find out a little about Jacob, the righteous man. So I went back, the Holy Spirit led me to the 25th of Genesis, if we go backwards a little bit. And the 25th, so y'all know that Abraham and Sarah had a child in their old age. And we find that in 21:3 of Genesis, right, where he's born, Isaac is born, he means laughter. And so let's find about what happened to Isaac. Isaac gets married to Rebekah, and they have twins, and their twins are called Jacob and Esau. We find that in 26. So here's Jacob, the same guy we're talking about in 28:15, the quote-unquote righteous man, right? So when he's coming out of the womb, right, so his name Jacob in Hebrew means heel snatcher. It means usurper. And cardiology, I love this, and we have something called atrial fibrillation, yes? And that's when your heart is erratic. The top chambers of the heart are beating 400 times a minute. 400. If all that information came down to the ventricle, people would die. God is so cool. He put an AV node right in the middle, and it says, stop. You can't bring all of this down here. You got to stop. God is so, I mean, when you study the heart, and someone has a heart attack, and that artery's closed, and the other artery comes and builds collaterals, an amoeba didn't do that, baby. A monkey didn't do that. My Jesus did that. It's a no-brainer. But I don't get it. The scientists say it's amoeba. They're crazy. That's a medical term. Crazy. Yeah. Okay, so his name means a usurper. So in atrial fibrillation, you got one light switch, right? Let's say that Pastor Randy and Pastor Nicole are that little light switch of this place with Pastor Phyllis. Let's say they're one. And let's include Brother Eric there, because I just beautiful people. By the way, I got to meet them today. I feel like I've known them for, 20, 30 years? Beautiful people. Y'all got real pastors here, y'all. I've been to many churches, and they are cold as ice. You're as cold as... Anyway, Cole, these people, they're real. They're beautiful. Their hearts just, I mean, it pours Jesus. Love for him and a love for you. It's just hard to find. Don't go nowhere else. So let's say they're the one light switch, yes? But there are usurpers in the church or whatever. They come, I'm the light switch. No, I'm the light switch. And there's 400 light switches going off. It's confusing. And that's what atrial fibrillation is. It's usurping the real light switch. And people's heart goes erratic. We call it irregular. Jacob was a usurper. He's like atrial fibrillation running around. He when he comes out, first comes Esau. Then comes Jacob. That boy got his heel. He's like, he's holding on to his heel. He's like, no, you ain't. You're not coming out first. And if you are, I'm going to pull you back in. So he's a usurper. He's a supplanter. So that's him to begin with, right? And then we go to verse 30. We know that Jacob loves Esau and Rebecca loves, Isaac loves Esau and Rebecca loves Jacob. We know that. And then, so you have them growing up, and Esau is a hunter outside going after game, and Jacob is a tent dweller. He's an indoors person. And Esau comes, he's famished, he's hungry. And so he's like, I want some food. And Jacob's got the stew cooking, right? It's just so, smells so good. And he goes, give me some. And he's like, no. Give me your birthright, and I'll give you your little stew. And the birthright is very important. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17. The person who gets the birthright gets a double portion of the inheritance. If daddy is dying ultimately, he gets the responsibility and the authority of the father. So it's very important to have the birthright. And this boy's like, what's up with my birthright? I don't care. I'm famished. I'm about to die. What good is my birthright if I just go, die, and he's willing to sell his birthright. He's like, what good is it? What profit would it be for me? And it reminds me of actually Matthew 16:26. What profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his soul? He's losing his soul right there. He's saying, and loved ones, I'm not judging. I just want to shake up the church a little bit, yeah? Because we're in the church of Laodicea, if you ever are in tune with it. And by the way, talk about Revelation. With all these books that we have today, they're here for a couple of reasons. One, when you support this ministry, the Beacon of Hearts, it's going to feed our orphans. This is for feeding the orphans. I have 32 orphans that I care for by God's grace. And two, starting June 16th, which is right around the corner, my heart, be still. We have our own show on Daystar. That's crazy. That's by God's miracle. They handed me a contract. It was through Brother Eric that got me there. I'm so thankful for him. Just a man of God, just a beautiful person. When he speaks the word of God, it just pours out of him. But anyway, we're going to start June 16th. Y'all might be asleep by then. It's 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. On every Sunday, and it's on the book of Revelation. And they said, okay, here's the contract. Many ministries wanted this spot. You are bypassing them all. Here it is. And I'm like, how much is it? It's about $400,000. We don't have that money. $400,000. And I must be either, as they say in LA, loco, crazy, or I must be a man of faith, maybe a little of both. I signed the contract. I'm like, that's stupid. What's up? But it's like, here's the Red Sea and here's the Jordan River. I'm like, I'm stepping. Amen. And he's parting. I don't need to see a part. I just need to step. And I'm stepping. And so that's what it will help, loved ones. We're going to reach 5 billion people and beyond. When you support that, you will be part of it. I don't get paid at the Beacon of Hearts. It's not for me. My life is for Jesus Christ. Amen. My life is to save souls. Jesus means everything to me. So, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, 1 John, where is that? 1 John 2:16. It's not of God. It is of Satan and the world. And that's what you see in Esau. When you read that God hated Esau and loved Jacob, it's not like, oh, I pick and choose. I hate you and I love you. That's not it. He hated Esau's heart because Esau chose what he chose. So he gives up his birthright. That's one thing, okay? First, the usurper holding on to the heel. Two, Esau sells his birthright. Sell it, swear it, Jacob says. And here it is. For a stew? And church, the world's giving you stew today. Hollywood give you a lot of stew. And you know, at the end of the day, it stinks. I'm not going to let Hollywood have my world view. I want my Bible view. Yes, this is the Bible. We talk to the Holy Spirit. Let him give us the view, not Hollywood. I ain't going to listen to him. I'm not going to pay him to go see any movies that are crazy like that. Okay, so in 27, so we skip to the next chapter here, 27. And we see that that we have Rebecca overhearing something. Isaac is old. You know how old he is? He's 180 years old. You find that in Genesis chapter 35. He's 180. And his eyes are dim. I don't know. He got cataracts. He got macular degeneration. Ain't no ophthalmologist there. They can't just, got the cataract out. They can't give him an injection for macular degeneration. So we find that in, I think it was in 35:28 of Genesis, that he's old. He's 180 years old. He's in bed. He can't move. He cannot see. He tells his son Esau, I'm going to bless you. Before I die, let me just bless you. Mama Rebecca, oh, she heard that. She's like, no, he don't. He's not going to get the blessing. And she's like, Jacob, come here. And so she calls Jacob in and she says, I heard your daddy. He's going to bless Esau. No, he's not. You're going to get the blessing. Let's go. And Jacob, quote unquote righteous, right? He's not worried about lying. Watch him in 27:11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father perhaps will feel me, and it should seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon myself. He's not even worried about breaking the ninth commandment. Yeah, thou shalt not lie. He's not worried about that. He's like, if I get caught, I'm going to get cursed. I want to let you know that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will enjoy of its fruit. Watch what Rebecca says. The curse be upon me in verse 27:13. You know, the curse was upon her because she never got to see her son again. She died before she got to see her son again. You got to be careful. I got to be careful. Oh, I'm stupid. Oh, that was a dumb mistake. I'm just dumb. I'm like that. No. I'm a child of the living God. I made this mistake, but I'm going to bounce back. God's going to help me. Forgive me, Lord. Let's go. Let's roll. It's very important what you and I talk. If parents are like, you're an idiot. You're dumb. And if the child grows up being an idiot and dumb, and they're like, why are you an idiot? Why? Because you told him he was. So it's very important how we speak to people and how we love people and how we interact with people and how we encourage one another. And so she cursed her own self. And she's like, I get you some goodly raiment in verse 15. And I'm going to bring you Esau's raiment. You're going to wear his clothing because you're going to smell like him. Because he smells like, you know, ivory soap or whatever. But he's like, I'm going to get you Esau and you're going to smell like him. And she put skins of goats on his hand so he'll appear hairy. And on his neck. This is Hollywood. It's all a lie. That's what Hollywood does. It makes it seem so real, but it's really not. And he goes to his father. And he tells his father, and his father says, who are you, my son? Here's his first lie. In verse 19, Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Lie. He's Jacob, the secondborn. Second lie, I have done according as you bid me. I did what you told me. No, you didn't. Mama said, go, but daddy didn't say come. You said, come to me, and I came. Lie. And he's like, how did you find it so quickly? I mean, you got to go, you got to hunt, you got to slay thing, you got to cook. What's up? And in 20, he says, because the Lord your God brought it to me. Third lie. Notice what he said. The Lord your God. It's not even his God. The Lord my God. It's not even my God. See how righteous he is? It's mind-boggling me. And now it's 1 a.m. on the Delta flight as I'm reading this. Mind-boggling when I get to this part. And Jacob is like, come, may I feel you. He wants to feel to see, because he knows that Jacob is not hairy. And he comes near, he goes, the voice is like Jacob, but you feel like Esau. And he's confused, because remember, daddy can't see. And he said, are you my son Esau? And here's the fourth lie, I am. Wow. Talking to his dad. This is unbelievable. Today, people lie all day long, right? But in these ages, you are cursed if you lie to your parents. And the man, he's just keep on lying. And he blesses him. Esau comes in, right? Esau comes in. He's happy-go-lucky camper. He's got everything done. In verse 30, I came and blessed me. And in 32, verse 32, we're in 27:30. He's like, who are you? I'm your firstborn. I'm Esau. And Isaac trembled, and he said, no. I mean, he's already blessed. And he cries exceedingly, bitter cry in verse 34, Esau does. And there may be loved ones in here that you're just torn because of a family situation. And maybe no one sees it, right? You're like, praise the Lord, and you go on your way. But maybe your heart is torn, and it's maybe you can identify with David in Psalm 42:11. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? And why are you so discouraged? Trust in God. Trust in God. He's pulling himself. It's not an abnormal thing for us to feel down. Or Christians don't feel down. That's a lie. Trust him. He's pulling you. He's trust in him. So David is fighting. He's now, Esau, the bad boy, is fighting. But you and I may be also fighting. And he said in verse 35, your brother came subtly and has taken away your blessing. You know where that took me? Y'all won't believe where this word took me. It took me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Satan, the devil, the snake, was the most subtle of all the creatures. I was like, oh, he came like a snake, Jacob did. So this is the righteous man we're talking about. So he's in verse 41, he's going to slay him. Esau is going to kill him. He's going to take him out. He's the hunter. And he's like, this is not happening. You took my blessing. Papa blesses both of them, but more so he blesses Jacob. And in verse 43, Mama Rebecca says, you got to obey my voice. He did once. He is in trouble. Now he's got to obey her again. And flee to Laban, my brothers. He's got to go to his uncle to Haran. You know where Haran is? That's in Syria. That's north of Israel. That's 450 miles or 724 kilometers north of Israel. That's where it is, Haran. He had to go there. And we're going to find out what happens to him on the way. By the way, if you want to know why it's the end times, I'll give you one reason. There's so many. In the last days, perilous times will come. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, on and on. That's in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But in Syria today, you have Russia, Iran, Turkey with their boots, the army boots. We're not talking about little soldiers that you play with. We're talking about real human beings. They're in Syria, which is just north of Israel. And in Exodus, in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, there's going to be a Gog and Magog war right after the rapture. The rapture will occur. God's kids, us, bought by the blood of the Lamb, we're going to be taken up. And I feel sorry for the peoples who are going to be here. We're not going to be here. We're gone. If you're bought, not if you come to church.
Come on.
Amen. Not if you look pretty. But if you're bought by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Alone. We're going first bus, first train. I'm out of here, baby. So let's go. And so the people here are going to be in the tribulation of 7 years, three and a half. But the first war, and that's on our videotapes, by the way. The first war is going to be the Gog and Magog war. People want to know when it happens. It happens, and there's many reasons why I'll tell you, because Israel will be in safety because the Antichrist will sign a treaty, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. And Israel will like, I'm cool. Everything's good. Arab nations calm down. And their walls will go down. I've lived in Israel before. Their walls never go down, ever. They even have the Iron Dome. They don't go down, but their walls will go down. And that's when the Gog and Magog war. That's why I can place it right after the rapture. Okay, so Gog and Magog war, Turkey, Iran, Russia, along with Somalia and others in Psalm 83. But those are the nations that will come. Did you know God called out Russia, Gog, 2,500 years ago before Russia existed? Baby, that's how good our God is. He called them out before they existed. That's how good God is. So anyway, that's happening. Everybody laughed. Russia with Iran and Turkey. How funny. Man, you see these people holding hands on major news networks, the presidents of Russia, Iran, and Turkey today, holding hands, and they're in Syria. They're ready. It's time. Church, we're not going to be Laodicea. We're going to wake up. We're not going to be lukewarm. We're going to be hot for Jesus Christ. So he goes to Haran, he goes to Syria, and on his way, 10 miles north of Jerusalem, where does he end up? He ends up in a place called Bethel. That's in 28:12, and he sees this ladder set up on the earth, and at the top reached the heavens, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending. Have you ever wondered what he's doing, what kind of vision this is? So it's a connection, it's a link between earth here and heaven above. And God is standing right beside him. And this is when God says, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to keep you. And I'm not going to leave you. That's what we read, verse 15, right? That's what he's seeing, this ladder going up and down. It's the only connection. I'll take you to Genesis 11. Genesis 11, there was another ladder. Y'all remember this ladder? It was called the Tower of Babel. So when man builds a ladder from the earth to the skies to reach him, to do good, to try to please him, to whatever I can, it's going to be destroyed. Today's ladder is AI. And ain't that funny? Artificial intelligence, oxymoron. Artificial intelligence. What kind of intelligence is that? It's artificial. It's a lie. Artificial intelligence. What else you got? DEI. What else you got? Lie from Hollywood. You got all these lies coming at you today, today, today. It's all a lie. So man is trying to build it. I'm going to fast forward real quick to the New Testament because we have a ladder there. And you're like, I don't see no ladder in the New Testament. The ladder's called the cross. And remember, God's standing right beside Jacob, the righteous man. He's standing right beside him. I am with you, he says. And lo and behold, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the virgin shall bear a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Now, Matthew takes that in chapter 1, verse 27 of Matthew. Remember, he's a tax collector, so he steals it from Isaiah. And he puts it in Matthew chapter 1, verse 27. And he says, the virgin shall bear a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. That's how Matthew starts. You know how it ends? 28, 19, 20. Go and preach the gospel to the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And what? Teach them everything I've told you, for lo, I am with you all to the ends of the world. With you beginning, with you at end. The cross, 19:30 of John, it is finished. God ain't finishing. God is not trying to finish. He said it is finished. And that means salvation is for your health, for your goodness, for saving us from hell. It's for taking oppression out. It's to break all addictions. Salvation is everything included. It is not an add-on. Salvation is all for you and me today. So it is finished. This is what God did for us. It's in Romans chapter 5, verse 2 and Romans chapter 5, verse 10. He, Christ, reconciled us. How? From the earth to the sky, through the cross, through his blood. That's your new ladder.
Amen.
Emmanuel, God with us. And oh, when the Holy Spirit showed me that, I'm like, give me more. It's 2 o'clock now on the airplane, 2 a.m. It's just give me more, give me more. And so he calls that place Bethel. You know what that means? In the Hebrew, Beth, house. El, like Elohim, God, house of God. And he said, I've met him here. I met my God here. He changes. So I want to tell you, loved one, Bethel is a place of transformation. He changed. Oh, there's more. And you're like, how can there be more? Well, there is. So we are flashing forward to 20 years. Okay, we're going to go forward 20 years. And where is that? It was in 3113. 20 years later, God says, chop, chop, let's go. Let's go back to the land you came from. By this time, Jacob got 12 sons. Okay, so he's got the 12 tribes of Israel, and he tells them to go back to the land of Canaan. Well, in Peniel, in chapter 32, he ends up wrestling with God. He gets a limp, and God says, I'm going to change your name. Okay, so that's one. But when we go to 35, when we get to chapter 35, he ends up in the same place that he was before. Where? He's coming back 450 miles, and he ends up in Bethel again, 35:1. It's the same place where he sacrificed to God, where he saw the ladder, and he ends up in the same place. He's in Bethel. And that's where God changes his name from Jacob to Israel. And what Israel means? You know, he goes from a usurper, and he goes to God prevails. He transformed him completely. And today, loved ones, I'm going to call you to Bethel. And you're like, I can't go 10 miles north of Jerusalem. I ain't going to go get into it. You know, but I want you to know that you literally have become Bethel if you have been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Because doesn't it say that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, and chapter 6, verse 19, that together, we're the house of the living God, that the temple of the living God, and God lives in us. That's the Bethel, the house of God. You and I are the house of God. Amen. But there needs to be a transformation. God is calling you today for a huge transformation. And you're like, I don't need to be transformed. If that's where you are, baby, you better slap yourself silly right up here, because all of us needs transformation. All of us need to be what Peter did, right? Peter's like, wash me head to toe. Jesus is like, calm down. Just your feet. Every day we need our feet washed. And the Bible is the way to wash your feet and my feet, spiritually speaking, how we come close to God. But how do we get transformed? I love this. God took me to Isaiah chapter 62, verse 4, where God actually not only changed Jacob to Israel, but he actually changed the name of Israel. And he said, no longer will you be desolate. And this was the time of Isaiah when the peoples were, they had turned their backs to God, kind of like America, turned their backs to God. I'm good, I'm rich. And God in Laodicea says, no, you're not rich. You're pitiful, wretched, blind, poor, and naked. Ooh, don't you like the way God just spills the beans like that? You blind. Wake up. Open up your eyes. And so now God's taken Israel, changing their name from a desolate land in Isaiah 62:4 to number one, Beulah, which means married, and number two, Hephzibah. And you're like, what's Hephzibah? Well, what kind of word is that? You know what it means? It means God delights in you. He changed them. He changed them, a transformation from desolation to Hephzibah. God delights in you. To Beulah, we're the bride of Christ if you are bought by the blood of the Lamb. To Beulah, you're married to me. And loved one, that's what he wants to do for you today. He wants to tell you, forget the former things. Amen. Don't dwell on the past. We were so good at it. Did you see? Did you hear? What? No, he's like, can't you perceive it? And you know why he asks you and me, can't you perceive it? Because we're always like this. Did you hear last year, 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Just shut up and let's go. Let's move on. Amen. Let's go. And so, can't you, I'm making a way in the desert and you can't see the way and I can't see the way because we're looking back. I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. He's making you Hephzibah today. He's making you Beulah today. It's time to transform your life. It's time to change your name. It's to drop off whatever was in the past and to say, you know what, I'm leaning towards the church of Laodicea. I'm leaning towards, I come to church, I praise him, I give him my hour, check mark. No, it's our life is surrendered to him. So if that's where you find yourself, if you've come to the ladder, if you come to the cross and say, no, I need a transformation. I need you to change my life today. I can't take the depression. I can't take the oppression. I can't take this darkness around me. I'm worried about everything in life. I'm worried about them. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about how they see me. I'm worried about what to say. I'm worried about my next check. I'm just worried. My life is like a Jacob. My life is like a usurper. My life is not going right. I need some kind of help. Today is your day to transform from Jacob to Israel to Hephzibah. Today is your day. This is the day. And you may say, maybe tomorrow. You don't know what you got tomorrow. I see a one-day-old child die in the emergency room. I see a 10-year-old child die. I see a 13-year-old child die. I've seen 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 60, 70, 80, 90. It don't matter. This death is not a respecter of age. And it's time for you and me to snap out of this Jacob world of ours, going, oh, they wronged me, or I'm on the wrong side of the track. Shut up. Stand up. Let's go. It's time. God is calling you today. And the reason why we got what we got in America is because we praise him for an hour, but for 23 hours. Look, if you believe in tithing, which I do, that's 10%. You know what that means in time-wise? That's 2.4 hours. That's what that means. It ain't all about money, 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 money. It's about your time, my time, your heart, my heart, your surrender, my surrender. That's what it's all about. It's that the church is asleep, not this church, but overall the church is asleep. And we're trying to wake you up. Let's go. I got the paddles. We're going to put it on your chest. We're going to go boom. And you're going to be, oh, like that. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit. We need you. It's time, loved ones, as it says in Isaiah chapter 61, I believe it is, 61 verse 3, that he's going to take your ashes and he's going to turn it into beauty. If that's what you want today, I'm going to ask you boldly, if you don't have Jesus Christ, by the way, you need to come up here and you need to accept him as your personal Savior. And maybe all you beautiful peoples are born again, and that's wonderful. But if you don't have him as your personal Savior, I want you to come up here, because I will say this, there's only two places to go after death. It's either heaven or hell. And yes, I do say the word H-E-L-L. There's heaven or hell. And you can't get to heaven because you're pretty. Or you came to church for 40, 50 years. You can't get there. The only way to get there is through the blood of Jesus Christ, the slain lamb who is victorious. That's the only way to get to heaven. So if you don't have him, it's time today. But if you feel like, no matter what age, no matter who you are, and you're like, well, they're going to stare at me. Let them stare. When you're in front of the throne of God, ain't nobody going to be talking to you on one-on-one with Jesus Christ. If you feel like, you know something, I've achieved, I've done this, but I'm defaulting back to Jacob, and you want to become Hephzibah today, I need you to come up here, and I'm going to pray over you in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's do that. Come on up. Don't be shy. This is like family, right? This is loved ones here. We honor one another. We respect one another. So if you want to come up here and you want to be prayed over, I'm inviting you, church, to come and be blessed. Don't miss this opportunity. And by the way, maybe tell the truth in your life. Huh? Oh, I'm not Jacob. Maybe tell the truth. Come on, loved ones. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord. If anybody else, this is your opportunity, because you are coming to Bethel. This is it. This is where your life transforms. This is where you become Hephzibah. This is it. This is when you and I surrender and we give all to our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm gonna get on my knees and pray, and I ask you to repeat. I have no idea what I'm gonna say, but the Holy Spirit will lead. I'm going to pray, and I ask you to pray with me out loud and sincerely, with all your heart, with all your soul, as if, you know, you got into a Cincinnati Bengals game and they gave you this awesome seat and your team is finally winning, and you're going, yes, yes. And people go crazy, and when in church they're like, oh yes, praise the Lord. No, it ain't. It's praise the Lord. He's good. He's a good God. He's a good God. Anybody else come? Come. Come as you are. And let's pray together. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you delight in me. I thought that I only delight in you and that you were mad at me for all the things I've done. But now I'm hearing that even the unrighteous, Jacob, you had your hands on him. And you said to him, I am with you. And Father, I come to the ladder. I come to the Calvary. I come to the cross. And as I look up, I'm seeing the blood of Christ falling. It's falling all over me. And all my past, all the sins, all my mistakes, all my heartaches, all my problems, all my darkness, I see it just melt away because you delight in me and you love me. And Father, I give my life. I give my life to you, my very breath to you, everything about me to you, my time, my resources, my career, my family, everything I have, I give to you. Father, I'm getting a new name right now. I am Hephzibah. God, you are delighting in me. And I am so humbled. How could you love me so? I'm just so thankful. And I am Beulah, married to you. And no weapons formed against me is going to prosper because you are with me. You are in me, and you are for me. Holy Spirit, take over my life. Take over my heart. Take over my tongue. You are my comforter. You do not beat me up. You support me, and you teach me, and you guide me for the rest of my days. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will not fear because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I thank you, Papa. I bless your holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And amen. Loved ones, if you need healing, hallelujah. Let's give God a shout of glory. Oh, only He is worthy. Only He is worthy. As the word was being preached, according to Psalm 107:20, as it went out, not me, the word, as the word went out, it healed you. And you must accept that healing. And you're like, doctor, I still feel the symptoms. It don't matter what you feel. It matters what the truth is. You can get a diagnosis from a doctor who thinks he's God and say, you're going to live 3 months, but God is God. And His word is true. So I'm speaking healing over your life in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm speaking it in your bones, in your heart, in your lungs, in your eyes. I'm speaking God's grace on you, okay, loved ones? Because there's no other God. He is so holy. And he is so loving. And he's in love with you. That should blow your mind. That should get us to say, you know what? I'm done with Jacob. I'm done with the stew. I'm just done with it. I'm going to Christ. And I don't care how old you are. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, I'm praying the grace of God upon you. I'm praying healing over you, strength over you, goodness over you, that your faith may increase, that you would only look to the Lord God and forget the former things and don't dwell on it any longer. That you would be on your knees every day and say, my life needs to change. I am done with what I am. I'm being made new. That you would be the prophet of a living God. That people will not look at your age. That your life now becomes Hephzibah. That you become strong in the Lord, and I don't mean just physically. I mean spiritually. Be a man of God. That's what he has called you to be. A prophet of the living God. Let go of the past. 100% holiness unto the Lord. That the Lord would carry you, and that you would not fear anymore. What can man do to you when the Holy Spirit is in you? That you would serve with all your heart, with all your might, and with all your soul. That you would come to Christ and say, I am your servant. You came not to be served, but you came to serve. I'm going to follow in your footsteps. That you would be healed whole from head to toe. That you wouldn't listen to anybody. Their ugly words, their mean spirit, that you would listen to God and his love for you, that you would drop the past, would drop the oppression of the mind and say, Satan, you have no longer a hold in my life, in my mind, in my heart, or in my soul. I belong to Christ, and I will be a force with Christ that Satan will never be able to reckon with. That you would follow him all the days of your life. That you would have a gentle spirit about you. That all around you would be attracted to Jesus Christ because of the sweet words that come out of your mouth. That you would smile so big that people would see Jesus in you radiating. You belong to him. No matter what anybody says. You belong to him, and you are the righteousness of God. He is in you. He died for you. Don't look at yourself as marked. Look at yourself with the blood of the Lamb all over you. That you would follow the Lamb of God all the days of your life. That you would grow in spirit, in strength, in might. That you would look at the people that have hurt you so badly, crushed you, spit on you, demeaned you, and say, no, I actually forgive you. You don't deserve the forgiveness, but neither do I. God forgave me, I choose to forgive you. And as you forgive right now, and remember the people that have hurt you and dishonored you, you say, I'm free. Oh my goodness, for the first time in my life, I am free. Freedom is yours in Christ. That you be a light to all your friends. That they will see you shining and say, what in the world happened to you? You used to say this and sing that or go here, but what happened to you? And they will be attracted to your life. It won't be a turnoff for them. It will be a magnet. And people will flood to Christ because of who you are in the name of Jesus Christ. That you would stand tall. And you would stand on the rock, Jesus Christ. You've maybe tried so many other rocks, but Jesus is the rock. He is your salvation. And no longer will the wind blow you down. You will rise and you will always be on the rock. And no matter what comes against you, you will stand and you shall not fall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young lady, I'm going to call you Deborah because you're going to be the next Deborah. You're going to be a prophetess of the living God. And you're like, that's crazy. How can you say that? The Spirit of the living God is in you and He is going to transform you. You are truly Hephzibah. God truly delights in you. And from henceforth, the knowledge of the Bible is going to overwhelm you. And you're going to lead many who are astray to Christ. And people are going to look in wonder and say, how in the world can this young lady do what she does? Through the grace of God. And you, young lady, the grace of the living God is upon you. And when you have grace, you need nothing else. Don't look around you. Don't look behind you. Don't even look within you. Within you, within me, that's depressing. Look up to the hills and be overwhelmed by the grace of God that's falling on you. And you, young lady, God is always for you. He is never against you. Forgive the people that have hurt you. Even forgive yourself for what you've said or done. Be tired of it. Say, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to stick to God. I'm forgiving them. Name the people in your mind. I'm forgiving myself. And the Lord right now has renewed you. And you are going to have the heart of a lion. You will not fear any longer in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak healing to you. I speak healing to your back. I speak healing to your mind. I don't speak because of me. I am nothing. But Jesus Christ, He is everything. And He has saved you from hell, but He's also healed you from your illness. Go and jump like you've never jumped before. And no matter what the symptoms say, tell them, my Bible says, by His stripes, I am healed. And you couple, loved ones, you shall be called blessed. And everything about you, the Lord says, take off the clothing of mourning. Take it off. He's going to give you garments of praise. And you will be known as praisers. Everything about you is going to change. Your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, and your future. In the name of Jesus Christ. And loved ones, the Spirit of the living God is upon you. And He has called you to proclaim His word to the poor. And He has anointed you to touch people and they will be blessed. And they will be healed and they will come to Him because He has trusted you, because He loves you in the name of Jesus Christ. The Father is with you. He has never left you. You may have thought that He's just left me. Where is He? I asked for a situation and it didn't work out. He is with you. He is building character in you. It hurts. but you're coming out as 24 karat gold. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. The healing of the Lord is upon you. His love is covering you. His eyes are upon you, not to hurt you, but to comfort you and to help you. And when you cannot walk spiritually, He is here to carry you. And He will never forsake you. And one more thing, He will never fail you. In the name of Jesus. The Spirit says, be still. Be still. The battle is not yours. The battle is His. Let go. Just let go. Let him fight for you. You're weary, you're tired. Just let go and say, okay, it doesn't make sense that I let go, but I'm going to let go. I'm not going to keep it any longer. And I'm going to allow Him to fight my battle. In the name of Jesus Christ. And we have a youngster here. Here's a man of God growing up. The Spirit of God is upon you too, young one. And He's going to use you mightily for many miracles. And your hands that touch people are going to be healed. Your mind is going to be strong. Your intellect is going to be so high that people are not going to even be able to refute you. But it's not because of your intelligence. It's because the Bible is going to be in you. And I can see you sit down and read the Bible and devour it in the name of Jesus. You are going to soar like the eagles in the name of Jesus. And the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord is going to shine His face upon you. It's going to be multiplied where people say, you're going to be like Moses coming down from the hill. And people are like, what's up with you? And you're like, my God has healed my heart. He's taken the brokenness and He has healed it. And there's no signs of scars anymore. And I'm so thankful in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Is there anyone here that I just feel maybe someone is tired of life and I'm speaking to you? I don't know who you are, but you may be thinking of ending it all. In the name of Jesus Christ, come to Him. Come. Come. What's your name?
Mitchell.
Mitchell. Mitchell, God loves you. He's called you His own. Do you have the blood of Jesus in you? Do you know what He calls you in 1 Peter 2:9? He calls you a holy nation. He calls you a chosen generation. He calls you God's own special people. And He has taken you out of the darkness into His marvelous light so that you may proclaim the goodness of the Lord. And I rebuke the demonic forces of evil. I cast them in the pits of hell. I rebuke the demonic force of suicide. I rebuke the demonic force of death. I rebuke the demonic force of darkness. You have no rights on Mitchell. You are cast in hell, and you will not bring any reinforcements, and you will not bring any backups. You are damned forever. Mitchell, your life has changed. Light has entered into your eyes. Light has entered into your heart. You are no longer who you used to be. You remember what God called you. A holy nation, His own people, a royal priesthood. You wear His crown. in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise in the name of Jesus Christ. Cast the old garment off you in the name of Jesus. Walk in the light. And in the name of Jesus, I need you to do something every day. Read the Bible with your loved one here. Every day. You promise? You make that commitment. It's going to change your life. That is the medicine you need. You don't need no doctor. You need the doctor of doctors who got no complication rates. That's Jesus Christ. Amen? Blessings to you. What an honor to be with you, loved ones. I get emotional, I guess, because there's just no other, right? It's just no other. It's just Jesus alone. He is the best. He is our Redeemer, our Savior. He's our hope. Titus 2:13, we got a blessed hope. There is no need for a Christian to be depressed. Prozac can go to the pits of hell. You got Jesus, baby. You rock this place. Bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord shine His face upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you His shalom, peace. Amen. Amen. Thank you. What a blessing to be with you guys. I'll be back there with the books. I'll be happy to sign. And come and support the Beacon of Hearts so that we can rock the planet together. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Sam. And we're going to receive an offering for Dr. Sam and his ministry. He's going to go out, as he said, out to the lobby and sign some books. If you guys want to have some conversations with him, I encourage you to do it. But we're going to receive an offering for this man of God. As he mentioned, he's going to be going on the network, the second largest TV network in the entire world. And we're believing God that he's going to touch millions and millions of people. Daystar reaches about 5 billion people in 200 nations of the world. And I know Dr. Sam's very excited about doing this. So I know the Lord gave me a specific number as he was preaching. I felt the Lord drops up in my spirit. And like Pastor Dosik and like Pastor Nicole, Pastor Randy teach us, just hear what the Lord tells you to do and do it. Because the Bible says this in Philippians 4:17. Think about this. Every seed that you sow, every dollar you give tonight that helps Dr. Sam get the gospel out, not just on television, but take the gospel around the world, guess what? It's going to be added to your account someday. Think about that. You got someone that's bold enough to step out in faith to invest $400,000, and he doesn't have the money to do it, but he knows the Lord told him to do it. And guess what? He knows the Lord is his provider. But we can have a part in that. Amen? So I want to have a part in it. I'm sure you do as well. So tonight, let's go ahead and receive an offering. You can, if you have your smartphones, you can point it towards the QR code behind me. If you like, obviously everyone here in the church knows we have offering envelopes right behind you, right in front of you. Feel free to grab one of those as well. I encourage you. I've had the privilege of knowing this man of God for 4 years, and he is just the way you saw him every moment, every day. He loves getting this gospel out. He is such a soul winner. He has such compassion on people. I want to help him take this gospel around the world, and I know you do as well. So if you would, again, you can point your phone at the QR code. Let's help Dr. Sam touch, as he would say, millions and billions of people every single week on Daystar Television. Can we do that? Amen. Okay, let's pray over your offering, and then we'll bring the buckets down front here. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for Dr. Sam and for his ministry. We thank you, God, for the privilege that we have to sow into his ministry. Father, I thank you it's going to reap a harvest for you. We thank you, Lord. The Bible says when we lift you up, Lord Jesus, you do draw all men and women unto you. Father, I thank you that as Dr. Sam takes this gospel on the airways, as he takes the gospel literally across this nation around the world with joy and with compassion and with demonstration, Lord, I think you're going to honor and bless that man of God, and every need he has will be met in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we can be a part of that in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Go ahead and bring your offering to the Lord. Then don't forget tomorrow night, Dr. Tim Bagwell, Tuesday night and Wednesday night, and VBS for children. Thank you so much. Only Believe. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow at 7 p.m. God bless.